From an appreciation perspective, I'm not actually sorry that I've had to do it this way. And I think to a large degree, I'll achieve actually more because then, when you're younger, things kind of come easy and you just let it go, whereas now I have to work really hard for everything. And it's just so rewarding, especially for me coming from that place where I was so jammed up and in so much pain all the time. This whole world that's opened up to me in terms of what my body is actually capable of still, even in my age is
Young age.
it's very exciting.
Hey, welcome to the Bodies Built Better podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Tan, and I want to say thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. This show is all about human performance. So that means anything that impacts the way you perform and show up as your best self, we want to talk about. So whether that's the fitness and strength side of performance or whether we're talking nutrition and gut health, to mindset and the psychology of performance, the emotions that play a part in how we show up, and also the spiritual side. Honestly, it's everything that has an impact on the way you perform. So yes, we're talking about the scientifically proven and the conventional things out there. We also want to look at all the things that maybe aren't so much talked about these days, or maybe they are, they're slowly getting to the forefront of podcasts, of social media, and so they should, because I think they're really important things, like how our emotions play a part in how we show up and how our spirituality has an impact on the way we show up and perform. So we're covering it all right here on the Bodies Built Better podcast, and I'm so glad you're here today. Because on this episode, I'm pumped. If you know me very well, or if you've listened to the podcast, or if you follow me on social media, you'll know that I'm a huge stretching advocate. And stretching seems to be one of those topics that people love to go at and just take it down. And I really just talk about it in a way that's negative and really, if they're going to be people who are, referring to studies, it's normally the studies that aren't very good. And the only reason I say that is because I follow a lot of people who are in the stretching world and have PhDs or who are research analysts and look at research papers a lot. They know what to look for. And so it's so common. If someone's got an agenda, they're going to look at a paper and just pick out the pieces that they need to obviously go with their argument. So I love stretching and I love talking about it. And today on the show, I have the extraordinary Nyx Wilson. If you don't know her, she goes by the handle Flexibility Pixie on Instagram, and she is just the definition of what is capable and possible when looking at stretching from a very holistic and smart perspective. Because, it's so often if we're going to the gym and we're going to do, or we're going to be working on our cardio because we want to be training for a marathon, or we want to be, lifting heavy and entering a powerlifting competition, then our programming, all of that is always going to be specific to that specific goal. So the program is going to reflect that. And yet when we do our stretches or we want a stretching program, we don't approach it like that. And it's time that we do, because you can reap the rewards and the benefits of stretching, of flexibility, of understanding what your body is truly capable of when you have the right approach. And that's what we're talking with Nyx about today, is how can we use stretching so that we can achieve our goals and explore our body, explore what our potential is, and have the movement necessary to live long, healthy, strong lives. We also break down the front splits and the side splits. And no, not everyone needs to know how to do them, but it's one thing that probably 99% of the time when people talk about stretching, they say this is what they wish they could do. So Nyx is wonderful as she breaks down all the different layers necessary to achieve front and side splits. So I'm pumped about this one. She's incredible and I loved having this chat with her. So let's dive straight in with Nyx Wilson. Nyx, thank you so much for chatting with me today. Welcome to the Bodies Built Better podcast.
Thank you so much, Jackie. It's so great to be here with you. Thanks for having me on.
It's such a pleasure. I'm super excited about this. We're chatting all things stretching, strength, flexibility, and you go by the handle on Instagram, Flexibility Pixie. And obviously, because, I mean, all the pictures on there, all the videos of you doing splits every which way and not just splits, but you're then holding a dumbbell or a barbell or weight plates or something crazy. It's just you, my friend, stretching and strength goals for me. So really, like, this episode is purely selfish on my behalf. I just want to know how to get to where you are right now. But the other cool thing is I found out about you is that you were a hip hop dancer. And so was I. I feel like,
oh wow.
Yeah, I feel like we're awesome. So connected and you know, we're chatting for the first time, but I feel like I know you. We've known each other. It's just it's really wonderful.
We have a lot in common.
Yeah. So I'm excited about where we're going to take this today. But before we get into the juiciness of stretching, I'd love for you to tell us a bit about you and your journey in becoming a stretching and flexibility coach.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting journey, I think, because it didn't just happen overnight. And it's not something, you know, it's not something that I planned. you know, I think from my posts, for those that have seen me, the fact that I danced as a child is very, very evident. You know, my pointed toes and, you know, my obsession with having the locked knees and that kind of thing kind of comes through. So there's certain elements of that, you know, you can see I had a dance background. But in terms of flexibility, so when I was dancing as a child, I didn't have the conditioning and things that you should have in order to have, you know, really nice lines and the flexibility that most dancers these days have. So I sort of, you know, I got all of that as an adult in later years. So that's another thing that we'll chat about a bit later. But I sort of was very sporty. I've always been an active person. That has, you know, very much been part of my life, you know, forever. And I started teaching hip hop in my 20s. And that's when I sort of started getting back into this kind of thing. You know, I started wanting to become more flexible and do more, you know, because in my opinion, flexibility just gives you more options. Yeah. And I started doing that. But because of my, you know, my training or lack thereof, I had quite a few issues and it started to develop as I, you know, as I sort of did more, I found I couldn't do more, if that makes sense, because I had lots of hip imbalances and things like that. I had sciatic pain and I couldn't figure out which way, because no matter what I did, I was in a lot of pain, and I couldn't even touch my toes, to be quite honest with you. And so I started delving deeper into this kind of thing where I just wanted to understand what was going on with my body, because I'd always been able to move quite freely. And I discovered FRC. And so I started working through those principles a bit, and they really just opened my eyes to strength developments and things that I didn't have, because I'd be in these positions where that's the thing with FRC. I think you look at these positions and they look really easy. And then you sit in it and you start trying to do it yourself and you realize I have a lot of work to do. And as I started moving more and then, you know, being able to do a bit more, I started becoming obsessed with trying to learn more. And I started giving mobility classes from what I was learning because it was impacting me so much. I started wanting to teach and wanting to help people who were maybe struggling in a similar way to me. And that sort of led me to discover Lucas, the, you know, Range of Strength on Instagram. And I signed up and it all fell within lockdown. Perfect timing to sign up to a course. And that's when I started training under him as well. So I did the Range of Strength certification through him. And yeah, it just this passion for wanting to learn more and help more, because I suddenly started seeing what my body was truly being, you know, capable of. It took me probably about 6 months before I was out of the pain sort of situation. And I could now start developing more. And I was just like, this is amazing. And more people need to know about this, you know? And so that's sort of what took me into the teaching space again, but in a very, very different way.
Yeah, incredible. And when you say, you know, with your dancing and then going into the FRC, what were the key things that you really found? Was it, you know, you had the flex, you had the range, but the stability or strength wasn't there? Like, what did you find were the key elements?
Yeah, you know, initially, I would say, like, while I didn't have the flexibility that I have now, for the average person, I was probably more flexible, you know, just from the background that I had, but I didn't have the strength. Sorry. So that's where the imbalances started developing. So that was initially it. I would say I had more range, but I wasn't strong in those positions. And that sort of started to create this sort of downfall, if I can put it that way, until this point where I was just in masses of pain. And then I had to start now, you know, the sort of rehab process, if I can put it that way. But it was 90% of it was strength deficits.
Yeah. And how long did that process take for you? To overcome, I guess, all that pain.
To overcome. You see, once I found the systems that started working for my body, I think it was about 6 to 8 months. It wasn't a quick thing. I was in this process for about 3 years where I was in a lot of pain and, you know, just trying to learn more, went to physios, went to chiros, but they were all sort of just temporary relief. You know, you get yeah. It was great. You know, as a therapist yourself, you know, as well, I felt amazing when I left the office, but then about 2 weeks later, it would be right back. And I was like, there's something missing here. But once I started working on it, and then I think once I started to understand what my body needed, if I can put it that way, and then just consistency. That's why I think I'm such a stuck record on consistency. because once is never. And you see these things on the internet, and I was doing them, you know, all these sciatica, fix it with these three exercises, but they don't say to you, you need to do that every day for a month before you see anything, you know? So you try this, then you try that, and so once I established where I was going and found, you know, did with the FRC and then with Lucas and stuck with it all, that's when I would say it was probably about 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. So it can really be fast tracked when you understand what it is you have to do, how 100%. Often you have to do it. Yeah. When you have all the elements, it works
absolutely.
Out really well.
And look, I mean, when you have a person that's guiding you, it changes everything. You know, it's also one of those things that I just want people to understand is that having a coach is not something, you know, people kind of feel like they don't need it. And there's all the resources on the internet, which, I mean, you have all the exercises there. I share all of them. But having someone there when you're a little bit, when you're not confident and you don't understand, having someone there just keeping you on the track, you know, I think a lot of what Lucas did was just, you know, keep going next, because I'd be like, what's this? I can't understand. I'm not doing it right. Poor Lucas got the weirdest messages from me. But, you know, just having that confidence that, okay, I'm not feeling the way I should right now. And it's not looking like yours is right now, but it will if I keep going. That makes all the difference.
Absolutely. And you're so right with having a coach there who's there for you, because I think out of all of the different things out there in terms of training, stretching is the one thing that people go, oh, I can do that on my own. I'll just do this, this, and that.
100%.
And it's
100%.
if you want real results, you need a program that really helps you to progress, just like progressive overload in the gym. You need that with your stretching program. And when you have a coach who can see your body, they're able to see the nuances of the way you move and help you understand that as well.
100%, 100%. Stretching is a skill.
It
It's a
is.
skill that needs to be developed. It's a skill that needs to be coached, and it takes practice. You know, it's all of these kinds of things that people don't really understand. And fortunately, stretching is becoming a more popular thing, but in the same way, unfortunately, because a lot of like things are coming up, there's stretching is bad for you. This, you know, there's like the opposite end of the scale that's coming up as well. So for people, it's quite daunting at the moment for people who are just getting into this, where they've got like people saying a Jeffson curl is the worst thing in the world for you, you know, whereas like it's one of my favorite exercises, you know. And so that's where just having that guidance there just changes absolutely everything. It just
Exactly. That's
demystifies everything.
right. You need the education and the context around certain
100%,
exercises.
100%. And the positions, I mean, you know, there's often two ways or many ways to do things. Depends on the intent of the exercise. And sometimes just having someone to say, it's not wrong, but for these reasons, we're doing it this way. You know, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, awesome. And I'm so keen to get into some exercises and or stretches and breaking down some of the layers of them, but we'll get into that a bit later. I'd really love to know more about the method that you use. Like, how does it differ from obviously, going onto YouTube and just checking out a stretching video on YouTube?
Well, I think, you know, as I said, I work with Lucas in the Range of Strength platform. And I think one of the things that separate us from that kind of thing would be the fact that we have very clear milestones for people. And so people may come into us, you know, with certain goals, but they're at a very beginner level in their journey. So for them to like have this idea of working towards the splits, which is a very long-term goal, can be kind of demoralizing because, you know, we also say to people, just understand, it's going to take time, you know. And so we have milestones for each sort of level that people work through in our programs. So they come in as a beginner, we have baselines for them, and then we say, okay, for these 12 weeks, you're going to be working towards these. And some of them are more short-term goals, and some of them are more long-term goals. And so that really gives people very distinctive point to and a target to work for within a short period of time, and then again a long period of time. And I think that makes a big difference in comparison to someone who's I just want to be more flexible. They don't really know what does that mean? What, you know, like, and so having those little milestones just makes a big difference, I think.
And can we talk about, let's just say, the program for the moment, and getting people to understand, I guess, their body whilst doing a stretching program. So what I'm getting at is, I think people, what I've heard in the past is as soon as they do, a concentrated stretching routine, they then get up the next day and they feel soreness and they feel restricted and even tighter because of what they've done. And they get, like you've said, demotivated. Can we just shed some light as to why this is happening and why this isn't actually such a bad thing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad you asked this question. you know, like you mentioned earlier, stretching is in a lot of ways just like strength training. And so when we head into what we'll term new territories, we're going to get some DOMS afterwards. So you may feel a little stiff afterwards, but it's because your body's entering into these new territories, and now it's going to need to adapt. And at the end of the day, we need that adaptation in order to start making lasting change. So if we sort of constantly in a very comfortable space where we don't feel anything, or, you know, then we kind of like just staying where we're at. And so that is also part of our coaching with beginners, is to help them to understand, okay, it's completely normal. If you feel cramps, that's also another one that comes in often. If you feel cramps during your stretches, it doesn't mean you need to panic. You take, you know, come back out. I always just say, go straight back in, keep going. And also the fact that you may feel a little bit stiffer, but that's not necessarily a regression. It's the opportunity for the body to adapt. And so we do also look at our training. You know, we ask our clients to be very forthcoming with what's going on. You know, they can sort of have as much of us as coaches as they like. And so if they, we'd also don't want them to be stiff and sore every single day, you know, because that also we need to manage the intensities and just ensure that we, you know, sort of have those balances there. But it is completely normal to feel stiff or sore after a good stretch session.
How do you communicate with that with clients in terms of the programming? Because I imagine you're not always going to pull up with DOMS and soreness, and you can't, I mean, there's so many variables, you can't manage how intense the client goes into the program as well, and doing certain stretches and how far they go. How do you communicate with them, saying, you know, if it's the first time, if you're a beginner, go easier in the first week? Like, how do you manage that?
Look, this is a tricky one. It kind of is very much a it depends answer, because it depends on the client and how much they're communicating with you. We, you know, you're very dependent on how much they communicate with you. But you can generally see, so when our clients come in, like say they're going to start the basics program, we'll give them their milestones to do, which forms a part of the baseline, and for us to just ensure that they're working with the correct training intensity in terms of the program choicing. And so when they then get to send over the milestones to us, and you can see pretty quickly, okay, this person is going too hard, trying to get to that level too quickly. And you can kind of guide them immediately, you know, at that point in time. But it is just one of those things. We also in the platform have some resources. Lucas, with the training course that I did the certification, we have a platform on the Mighty Network that has all, you know, a lot of that content. And so if at any point in time people ask a question like that, we have a lot of those resources to refer them to a webinar or a class that Lucas did that explains a lot of these things. So we are, you know, very lucky in that respect, that as soon as we pick up that kind of thing, we have all the resources to send them to be able to really understand this aspect. But we also work with an RPE scale. And that also just helps. A lot of our clients come from the strength background, so they understand the, you know, these rates of perceived exertion. And you just, you know, help them to understand, okay, we don't always want to be working at the 10, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have various ways of going into that. But yeah, there's those are various things. It's just communication at the end of the day. And like I said, it's a lot of that is dependent on the client communicating with us or sending a video or two, because that kind of thing is quite you can pick it up quite quickly.
Yeah. And so I need to know, when do you start to incorporate the weighted and loaded stretches?
You know, you can actually start incorporating them quite quickly in certain exercises. Yeah, you know, there are exercises where what I always advise is like, For instance, the single leg good morning is a good example. It's one of those that I always say use a dowel at first, just so that you understand the movement, and then you can start using a little bit of weight and feel your way into it. So that again is also we use a little bit of guidance there, but we'll always advocate using a dowel or no weight first to establish the attributes of the position, the attributes of the exercise, and then work from there.
Wonderful. And speaking of attributes, let's break down some stretches because I think
Sure.
If there's anything, the splits is always going to be the one that people
I love
want.
The splits.
Tell us, what are the layers and attributes to breaking down and achieving splits, front splits? We'll go front splits
front
and then
splits.
Maybe we can do side splits.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the big things that I like to think about the front splits is, you know, if you think about the long lunge, it's just a shortened version of the front splits. And so for a beginner, we always have them working on the long lunge. And this is the nice thing. Our programs are all designed actually to work towards like your bigger ranges. They just start in a nice bite-size manner, if I can put it that way. So I'm not, you know, initially going to ask someone to get into their front splits, but a long lunge, everyone can do to a degree, you know, and that's where it starts. It starts getting interesting for people because they're like, hey, I can actually do this, you know, and then you start progressing from there. And then, you know, breaking down the position as well, what people sometimes tend to forget is that there's a front leg and there is a back leg. And those pieces, they come together quite differently. And so again, if you just simplify and work with the pieces that I need for my front leg, the pieces that I need for my back leg, it's just not so overwhelming, you know? So that I don't know if that answers your question in a little nutshell there, but there are, you know, different pieces there, and not everyone has to work towards the full splits, but you've got these elements that you can work to that will actually impact your day-to-day life quite a bit.
Yeah, I love that. And when you break it down like that, it makes it more accessible and achievable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely.
can we go into some of those layers a bit deeper? How we could work
Yeah,
those layers?
absolutely. We can. So if you're thinking about the front leg, okay, we've got the hamstrings in an you know, very much a stretched position over there. But what a lot of people don't understand is the compression element. So we want our quads to be working nice and hard there as well. So that's why in front splits training, we want to also be working on our compression strength. So that would also be hip flexor strength and quad strength there, as well as stretching our hamstrings. So that's an element that I find people overlook all the time. They'll spend all their time stretching their hamstrings or stretching their hip flexors at the back, but they miss that missing piece of the strength of the leg to, you know, to actually lift up, if I can put it that way, which helps the hamstring to relax, because that's actually what we're doing. So in like a hamstring stretch, let's say, you know, the pike stretch, it's not purely just folding down and then, you know, making the hamstrings do all the work there. What we're actually also trying to do there is get the hip flexors and the quads engaged so that they actively pull us deeper into the position as well. So that would be a piece that I think a lot of people miss, you know, overlook. And then in the same for the back leg. So now we've got the hip flexors that are stretching there, but we need our glutes to be working to be able to facilitate the same thing in the back. So again, we have these pieces that are exactly the same, just in a different position.
Amazing. Let's go to the side splits. Tell us about the elements of the side splits.
Same thing, you know, so we have the same thing again. Most people overlook the shortening side of the joint. Okay, so there we want to be strengthening our glutes. So that's why you see me doing all these standing standing leg lifts for days and days because we want to be strengthening our glutes there to be able to help us with the shortening side. It's not just about stretching the adductors, which of course is a big component of the side splits. But the side splits is also a bit of a puzzle, because the anterior tilt of the pelvis is really what makes a big difference. So most people will sort of stand up in, you know, a straddle and then just try and open their legs wide, and they get that sort of blocking where, you know, that blocking,
the hip socket.
It's not really stretching. They say, yeah, it's where the femur hits the socket and it doesn't, you know, move properly. So it just stops. Mm. And that's where having the right tilt of the pelvis comes into it. So a lot of the side splits training and pancake training is helping to people understand the layer, so to speak, of the anterior tilt of the pelvis in order to facilitate that movement that's going to take you further and down to the ground. So we do a lot of things like the horse stance position, which is in the same way that the long lunge is a fundamental stance of the front splits. The horse stance is what we think of in the side splits. So it again is just a shortened version of the side splits, but you get into a position there and it helps you to start understanding the tilt of the pelvis. And exercises like a seated good morning are so beautiful for helping someone to articulate that positioning and understanding what the pelvis needs to do in our side splits.
Amazing. And I love all of that. And what we'll do is make sure we get links to your Instagram videos of you what you're explaining right now, because I love that, you know, you're able to explain it, but you showcase it. You're able to do it, and we're able to see it in progress and able to strive to achieve the same thing.
Thank you.
That's what I love. When we're doing these sorts of exercises, I'd love, I mean, we did touch on it before, but in terms of the sensations that we're feeling and understanding how far to go, how far is too far, and, you know, what we could feel during a stretch, and especially if someone hasn't, you know, done the contractions or the opposing muscle contractions, like you mentioned before, instead of just focusing on the stretching the hamstrings, you're focusing on engaging the quads, engaging the hip flexors. If they haven't focused on that before and they're trying it for the first time, what could they be feeling? I know you mentioned cramping, but just getting an understanding of what they could experience throughout trying these new ways of stretching.
Yeah. Yeah, with pleasure. So if I take a position like the couch stretch, this is one that, you know, catches people a lot. So this is a hip flexor and quad stretch where you're having your shin up against the wall and then your torso, you sort of progressively moving your torso back. What people will most likely do is try and put their bum right against their heel immediately. Okay. And so what I like for people to understand is your breathing can tell you a lot. Firstly, so if you're immediately taking that huge breath and you can't breathe, you've gone too far. You should always be able to breathe in your stretches. And so what I like to tell people when they're getting into a stretch, and this is a principle that I still follow through with myself as well, is go to a point where you can feel a stretch, but that you know, like, I could be here for a good 5 minutes and be okay. So that kind of is a good entry point into a stretch. And then I always advocate to sort of stay there for a little while, you know, 30 seconds or so, hanging out in the position, because you can feel that stretch sensation, but it's not so intense. And it sort of gives the body a chance to adjust. Because as soon as we go too far too quickly, the body just resists, or, you know, immediately. And it's very hard to stay there and come out of that position, you know, without actually doing something productive. It's better to regress that position a little bit, hang out there for a while. We use the principle of hold before you move. So try not to fidget too much. Just be there where you can feel what is the body actually feeling, and use your breath. And then as you feel ready, you can start going a little bit deeper and then applying some of the contractions. And contractions are, each stretch will have a different one, but the principle is the same. You're going to be contracting with the stretch for a few seconds, then relax deeper into it, and then against the stretch for a few seconds and relax deeper into it, or something very similar. They all, once you understand the principle, you can apply to any stretch. But one of the things that one can do, so that, you know, initial point of just being okay, just kind of being relaxed. And then as you go deeper, I mean, you know, at some point in time, we're going to increase the intensity in order to, you know, start getting further in our range. And again, just breathing, helping, you know, I always say to people, when you have your stopwatch there, definitely have a stopwatch there, because if you guess your time, you will not spend enough time in your stretch. I can pretty much guarantee it.
And then it's too hard, like moving on.
But try not to watch the time. I sort of say, count your breath. You know, count your breaths, have, you know, do 5 or 6 really deep breaths before you have a look at your time. And that can help you to just get the body to know, I'm safe here, I can be here, and I'm not going to die.
Exactly. Very important to note.
Yes.
I love that. And the breath, yeah, I mean, it's so important for everything. And one thing that, I always remember Kit Lachlan said when I did his course, Stretch Therapy, is, you know, you stretch to get to know you as well. I mean, it's the perfect way to get to know
Absolutely.
You. Get to know where you are, what you can do, how your body responds, how you have the power to respond back to that, you know, that reaction, and you know, you've got that control as well. And so that's something that I'll always remember. And yes, you've just brought it up now as well with the breathing. So, so important. If you have someone who's come in and they've said, look, I do strength training, that's a big part of my life, I want to add stretching to it, but I don't want to do it as much as I do my strength training. How can I make it a part and bring them together in my routine?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's so relevant. A lot of our clients have that as well. Lucas actually did a webinar on this, and the thing that we are, you know, the message that we want people to understand at the moment for that is that you can actually do it within your session. So you don't have to have a dedicated flexibility session, and we'll use the term intersetting. What I like to advise people, so let's say I give them their flexibility program and they're going to, you know, incorporate it in their current strength program, because our strength programs all have it all sort of mixed for them. I would sort of recommend, in our flexibility program, just like others, we have prep work, we have a protocol, and then we have our specific work, which is your deeper stretches at the end of the session. We'd sort of say to them, you know, you can use your prep work right in the beginning of your session. And, you know, you can intersect the protocol within your session, and then keep the deep stretches for after your strength work. So you're not having to try and incorporate those. It's kind of, you know, there's, you know, easier way to, when you see it laid out, it's a little bit easier, but that's kind of like a basic idea for people, that their prep work for their flexibility work works really well as prep work for some of the strength things that they're going to be doing. So for instance, if someone's doing their upper body session, we have a shoulders and spine, which is, you know, working with your shoulders and working towards back bends kind of session, then it works really nicely. Your shoulder prep is going to work, you know, help with your strength training stuff too.
Amazing. And would you say it is as simple as adding it on top of your strength sessions at the gym? It is amazing. And that's so good, because there's that misconception around, like, if you're doing too much stretching, you'll lose strength. I don't know if there's I mean, if anyone's seen you or Lucas, That just demystifies that completely.
Lucas is exactly the prime example of that. Exactly. You can be super flexible and like as strong as anything at the same time.
Yeah,
it is pretty simple. So like the misconception would come in where a person maybe who hasn't trained splits goes and does their split set and then tries to squat straight after that.
Sure.
That's, you know, and it's not necessarily even a bad thing. It's just that your squat's going to feel fundamentally different after that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that's just, it is very, very simple. It's just to understand just a little bit there that, you know, rather it's not going to be a bad thing to do your splits before, but it's going to, you know, you can, depending on what you're doing afterwards, this might be more beneficial. So that's just where a little bit of communication comes in, but that's for general, that would be what we would do. Do you know, use your prep work in there, strength train combined with the strength work of your flexibility stuff, and then do your long, big stretches at the end.
Yeah. So it's really about understanding the goal. Yeah. Yeah. Understanding the goal of the outcomes from your strength program and how to incorporate the stretching for that.
Absolutely. I think there's also a time for people to understand though that, so if someone comes in and they, you know, they want to include, they want to improve their flexibility because of various reasons, they've super jammed up in their training, there is a time where putting a little bit of focus on your flexibility and taking a step to the side, so to speak, of some of the other things can be beneficial. You know, it's sort of one of those things where some people need to understand, okay, you'll actually be better with that in the long run if we do this just for a little while. But as I say, that's a conversation that's very personal to a specific client. So this is a nice, easy and digestible way for people to incorporate things.
Yeah. That's such a good point, because, you know, if you're someone who's in the gym and, you know, you're quite tight and you're trying to, you know, there's some Olympic lifts that are, you know, quite technical and require really, could you say advanced ranges, say in your shoulders and in the hips?
Yeah,
and
for some people, it would be advanced.
Yeah. So if you don't have that range, then it's the stretching part that you want to focus on so you can achieve that.
Absolutely. Lucas went through that as well. And I mean, I had to do that. So, it's just that, you know, and it does, once you, then the nice part is that once you at a place where you can start building, you can start doing it so nicely. And that's where the fun part has been for me, because, you know, I feel really confident in my body and I'm so aware. You know, people will look at some of my things and say that's dangerous because I have hyperextension in my knee, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. I say, I know exactly what my body can do.
Yeah,
you know?
Not
to say that I'm bulletproof. I believe that that is a myth also, that you can bulletproof yourself, but I'm very aware. And so that's when you can go to your lifts or your things with so much more confidence, because you know, you have the range and you know, you have the strength that you're building there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to know whether you incorporate any other types of stretching within your stretching program. So there's the, you know, obviously the static, your static active, a lot of what Dan Van Zandt goes through, active dynamic, passive dynamic. Yeah. Got to get my head around those. But
yeah,
there's the bounce, so bouncing and ballistic stretching, like all these different types of stretching. Do you incorporate any of that within your programs, or, you know, in your own training?
Yeah, definitely. In my training, as well as in our programs, you kind of use it all, if I can put it very, very simply. A different client will respond to different methods, and there's also levels of exposure. So like, for instance, using reps is an entry point sometimes for isometrics, you know, so there you've got the different variables, whereas rep would be considered dynamic, where and an isometric is going to be static. But in order for a person to be able to get to that point, they will go through the dynamic work and then into the isometric, you know, so just those sort of principles. And we very much incorporate your static stretches where you still the isometric types of things, as well as various other drills where you are moving as well. And yeah, as I say, a good flexibility program will incorporate a lot of them because the body responds, and certain areas of the body as well also respond to different types of stimulus. So yeah, just to put it simply, I use it all.
yeah, perfect. I'd love to know in terms of, well, actually, let's just go back to the very beginning of the episode. You said that you got into stretching in, or this part of stretching, in your adult life. And there's, you know, the myth out there that you can't get flexible past the age of insert number here. But tell us about, you know, being able to get flexible and achieve your goals later on in life.
There's some days where I'm like, you know, I wish I had gymnastics as a child, because that would have just made my life.
Exactly. I think the same thing.
But if I'm honest with you, Jackie, I think I appreciate it a lot more now than I would have. You know, because I've had to work really, really hard. I only started this work to, just to put context to it, you know, so I only started this when I was 37. I'm going to be 39 this year. I mean, 40 this year. And so
you don't look that at all. That's, I mean, you look amazing.
Thank you.
To say that.
Yeah, thank you. So yeah, from an appreciation perspective, I'm not actually sorry that I've had to do it this way. And I think to a large degree, I'll achieve actually more, because then, you know, when you're younger, things kind of come easy and you just let it go, you know, whereas now I have to work really hard for everything. And it's just so rewarding. And like you mentioned earlier, and I think we haven't really spoken about the handstands, but they have humbled me like nothing in my life, I think. And, you know, being able to do a little more, even just holding my handstand for an extra 5 seconds, is like this huge win for me. Whereas if I'd have done that as a child, it would have just been another thing that I could do, you know. And so it's very rewarding as an adult. And I think also, especially for me, coming from that place where I was so jammed up and in so much pain all the time, this, you know, this whole world that's opened up to me in terms of what my body is actually capable of still, even in my age, is
young age.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. And I think that's such a beautiful point to make as well. I mean, that's the point of the podcast, you know, discovering our potential, because it can be limitless, but we're so, I think, sometimes afraid of the work that needs to put in. I feel like you're one of a kind. 100%. I don't know anyone who loves the challenge of stretching or trying to get better at something in this day and age. But yeah, it's certainly it's tough and something that you need to commit to in order 100%. to reap the rewards. And you know, unfortunately for you, you came from a place where you were in pain and you knew you had to do something about that. And hopefully people don't get to that stage in order to make the decision to make change. But yeah, hopefully they can look at or hear this and go, yes, it is time to start a stretching program.
Yeah, I think it is one of those things. Unfortunately, most people do get into something like stretching when they're at a place where they have to do something about it. You know, there's not that many people that will start doing it just for fun. Or they may like look and say, I want to do the splits. But as soon as they really realize, and that comes pretty quick, they realize, okay, this is going to be a lot of work. Then they'll like, you know, go off and do something else.
Yeah. If it doesn't happen in a couple of weeks, then it's done with.
Yeah. But at the same time, I sort of like to think of it as well. You know, it's quite nice to think of looking towards something as opposed to trying to move away from something. So if I can put it this way, like for instance, myself, I was trying to move away from pain. But also having that mindset of, I'm going to be able to do this, I'm going to be able to do that, it kind of spurs you on a lot more as well. So keeping your eyes on the prize of being able to do something that you never thought you'd be able to is quite big. And I think that's the very rewarding part about being a coach, is that a lot of people come in, a lot have been told they need surgery, a lot have been told I can't help you, you know, that kind of thing. And then they come to us, and then within a few weeks, I mean, I get like goosebumps and even like a lump in my throat. A lot of these messages that come through, like, I've been in pain for so long, I didn't think I'd ever be able to do this. And it's the most beautiful, beautiful thing. It's such a privilege to be in this position where you can help people. And I think that's why it just means so much to me. So when I'm throwing all this stuff on Instagram, it's also just because you really have no idea what you're capable of until you, as you said, commit, because it takes commitment. There's absolutely no doubt. And you just put in the work and just be consistent. And once you have that buy-in, it gets easier. The hardest part is just sticking to it in the beginning, and or starting.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like just taking that step.
Well, speaking of committing and consistency, what would you say is, I mean, because there's myths out there that you need to be doing stretching every single day. It needs to be 2 minutes on each side, or, you know, whatever it is. What would you say, I guess, is the bare minimum for people to commit to something? Yeah, bare minimum, the maximum results.
It's a difficult one. It's a difficult one to say, because your input is going to impact your output. So, you know, how much you do, what level you do it, well, your results will take longer. That's just the bottom line, you know. But it is, you don't have to be stretching every single day. Like, our basics program has 4 sessions per week. But I would say, you know, 3 sessions per week that you can stick to is a really, really great place to be.
Right.
I will always say to someone, like, if you can stick to even 1 session per week, it's going to be better than trying 6 sessions per week and stopping after 3 weeks. You know, so in my opinion, for the person that's wanting to start with something that you know you can stick to and build up from there. And you know, even starting with 15 minutes of dedicated work, if you have the right kind of approach with that, you can make change. It's going to take longer, that's the reality of it. But you can start creating a process of change. And what tends to happen is that when you start to see the change, you're able to make time for more.
Yes, exactly.
But sometimes the idea of, I have to now find an extra hour, I have to find an extra hour 4 times a week, sometimes that's too overwhelming for people. So I'll say, you know, think of what you can stick to and just start. Because even 1 stretch once a week is better than nothing.
Absolutely. Really, yeah. And like you said, once you start to see results, it's a big motivator.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you get that buy-in, and then you can progress from there. But it's all about consistency, in my opinion.
Yeah. Beautiful. Now, I know there's not one stretch that is the be all and end all, and that's the only thing we should be doing forever. But if there's someone out there that's saying, I don't want to stretch, but give me one stretch that I should concentrate on to start with, what would that be? Or 2.
Oh.
Or 3.
Goodness. Okay. So I would say, I don't think there's a single person in the world that won't benefit from a piriformis pigeon combination, some, you know, variation. I don't think that anyone can say, I don't need that at all. So that's something I think that I do a variation of every single day, in some way or form. So that would, it just pops up immediately as one of my go-tos. And then probably also a variation of the couch stretch, a hip flexor stretch of some sort. You know, we all do a lot of sitting in our days and things like that. So in terms of stretching, we're not talking about strengthening now. That's another matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if I had to, it would be, you know, those two.
Yeah. The pigeon is my nemesis. I hurts every time. So
we need to have some time together, Jackie.
I would love that. Please. So what about the person that goes, okay, I'm going to stop everything, and what I want is a program that focuses on both stretching and strength because I need both. How do you work towards integrating both stretching and strength together?
Well, it is the same principle that I mentioned earlier. You know, you look at a person. So if we're doing the sessions together as one, so they having, you know, it all together, then it is just that process of, so firstly, when it's, especially if it's a one-to-one client, we have an assessment. You can do very little without an assessment. And there's, you know, each person is going to have different restrictions, so you'll just base your program based on that. So a lot of the prep work is, you know, is beneficial to everyone, so that's kind of your prep work's kind of across the board. And then with someone like that, you'll have areas of weakness and areas where they need to. So for instance, you may have more strengthening in one area than if they have more range in that area, then, you know, you're looking at strengthening that side as opposed to stretching a lot there. So you, but your phases in the program will also depend on their progress as well. So it's very dependent on how the person responds. But the sort of basic way would be, you know, to have their prep work set out there, and then a protocol that includes stretching, a bit of this, the strengthening work in our flexibility, as well as their strength training, and then some of the bigger stretches at the end.
Amazing. Nix, this has been so awesome. If there's a question that I have not asked and that absolutely should be answered, is there one? I'm sure there's plenty.
I think we've
we're good.
No, we've gone pretty deep in quite a few things.
Good. Excellent. Exactly what I wanted. Well, if there's people out there who want to know, you know, how they can work with you, how they can follow you and check out all the awesome things that you're doing, how can they do that?
I think Instagram's probably the easiest way to get to know me and to contact me on. So that's at Flexibility Pixie. Pretty easy to remember.
And they'll know when they're on the right spot because all the splits. It's awesome. I love it. And if there's anyone out there who's wanting to start stretching, what's the best advice you could give them to make it as easy and accessible as possible?
I think it would just be to understand that once is never. That is a saying that I heard from the movement maestro. If you've not heard of her, you have to check out Shante Caulfield. But she said that once is never. And stretching and flexibility is, you want to play the long game because it's just so worth it for your big goals, but also for your training, for your sport. We've seen it time and time again. It just facilitates everything and even everyday life types of things, you know. Dropping a pen and being able to choose how you pick it up is kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, or, you know, things like, I always use the example of your kids. If your child's going to fall off something and you're worried about whether you're going to, you know, tear a hamstring trying to reach for them, that makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. And so those types of things, just understanding that it's not just for the splits. Flexibility is everything. It impacts everything in our lives. So once is never, and just do more stretching. Everybody needs to do more stretching.
That's perfect. And I love that. Once is never. I'm going to use that for, I'm going to write that on the
wall. I think I say it all the time. Mm. I stole it.
But you've named it, so you've named where it come from, so we're good. This has been so wonderful. At the end of these episodes, I love for the guest to ask a question of this incredible listener. So what is your question to them today?
I think, you know, I had a question from in on one of James Clear's posts. I love James Clear. He's wrote Atomic Habits. It's a great book. Everyone should have that book. And he asks, I could be butchering it, but he said, what is one thing that you can do today that's going to lead you towards having the life that you want? And that, you know, just for me was such a big thing. Sorry. Because it's just it's accessible and it's just such food for thought. So that's something that I would like to share.
Yeah, amazing. It's such a powerful one.
It is.
Nix, thank you so much for chatting with me today. I've had the best time. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me on, Jackie. I loved it.
That was Nix Wilson. How good is she? I'm going to put all the links in the show notes to take you directly to all the layers of the front splits and the side splits that she was talking about. So you've got easy access. You'll be able to see exactly what she means when she's talking about the stretching, contracting, and all the strength stuff on the opposing muscles as well. So all of that in the show notes. If you loved this episode and if you have been reignited in your fire to start a stretching program, let me know. I would love to know. And I would love to know what you're doing. And I would love to know what your goals are because stretching is certainly one of my passions. It really is. I think it's one of those things where people have all these different ideas around it. And I've always been a big believer. It's always been a part of my life. And it's always been the thing that's helped me really feel into my body and be able to move in a way that feels good. You know, strength is wonderful, but there was this really incredible saying, and I'm going to let me just figure out what that saying is because I have to tell you it. Something about a boat. Okay, so we've got it. And it's from Rumwad. Flexibility without strength is like a boat without a motor. And strength without flexibility is a powered boat in a frozen lake. I feel like it was better the last, when I remembered it. Maybe there's different iterations of it, but that's the idea. And that's what I really love. About the conversation today with Nix Wilson is that she really did communicate that both strength and flexibility is important and that it can be worked on together at the same time. So let me know how you go and what you thought of this episode. If you did really enjoy it, then please share it with your friends and leave a review and subscribe because all of that really helps this podcast grow. As always, I so appreciate you and you spending the time with me today. Have the best day, week, month, and year. Stay awesome, and I'll catch you next time.